السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے آج کا دھیان میں جلسہ سلانا شروع ہوا ہے.
With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jalsa Salana begins in Qadian from today. There are similarly other countries in the world where Jalsa Salanas are also being held during these days. These include some African countries. It is the same time there as well, and therefore this Friday's sermon has in this way become a part of the Jalsa program. There was once a time when the Jalsa Salana was held only in Qadian. Then the partition took place and Jalsa Salanas began to be held in Pakistan. However, the governments in Pakistan, as well as the opponents, found it completely unbearable and intolerable for Ahmadis to speak of Allah and His beloved Messenger. As a result, a law was passed under which the Ahmadiyya Muslim community were not allowed to even mention the name of Allah and His Messenger. In order to implement this restriction, the Jalsa Salanas in Pakistan were prohibited. And so, according to their thinking and presumption, they had deprived the hundreds of thousands of Ahmadis who lived in Pakistan from mentioning the name of Allah and His Messenger. However, the opponents of Ahmadiyyat failed to understand that these superficial prohibitions of law may restrict us physically, but they cannot restrict the hearts. Despite inflicting emotional torture, despite the fact that they inflicted financial loss, despite the fact that they caused sacrifices of lives to occur, the opponents of Ahmadiyyat can never seize the love of God from our hearts.
Our
even all the harm, suffering, and damage that they have caused to our hearts and sentiments. They cannot extract the love that we have for the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master and guide, from our hearts. These opponents, who on the one hand are our brothers who recite the same kalama, make an extremely strange claim of having love of the kalama. Instead of being happy and delighted on the fact that there is a sect amongst the Muslims who not only makes a claim out of the love of the kalama of sacrificing everything for its sake, but rather they have proven, practically speaking, that they have entrenched and deeply rooted the love of the kalama even in the hearts of their children. Yet to restrict us from uttering the kalama, they resort to every appropriate and inappropriate effort. The efforts of the opponents of Ahmadiyya to inflict harm and damage upon Ahmadis will be considered by every just and fair person as not just opposition to Ahmadiyyat, but in fact he will consider it as opposition to Islam. Nonetheless, with reference to the Jalsa Salana, the Pakistani Ahmadis and the Jalsa Salanas in Pakistan were also mentioned. So every year in the month of December, it is a time when the sentiments of the Ahmadis living in Pakistan are exceptionally spiritually charged and motivated. May Allah the Almighty enable for these feelings, sentiments and passions that they harbour to flow in the threshold of God the Almighty in such a manner that they absorb and attract the blessings and bounties of God. May every opposition, hardship and difficulty be swept away like rubbish. May the Ahmadis of Pakistan gain beneficence from the same blessings which the rest of the world of Ahmadiyyat benefits from today. As I have already said, the Jalsa Salana was initially only held in Qadian. Then it expanded and the Jalsa Salana was also held in Rabwa. But then there were restrictions placed upon the Jalsa Salanas being held in Rabwa. The various governments that were in power at different times in Pakistan supported the opponents. They presumed that by placing restrictions upon the Ahmadis in Pakistan, they would stop the progress of the Jamaat altogether. But what actually happened? As I have just said, that today, during these very days, there are numerous countries of the world where there are Jalsa Salanas being held. And throughout the rest of the year, in accordance with their respective resources and facilities, there are Jalsa Salanas held in virtually all countries where the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is established. So as such, this institution of the Jalsa Salana that was initiated by the Promised Messiah on whom be peace himself has now taken an international and worldwide shape. When the Jalsa Salana was held in Rabwa, there were a few other countries where Jalsa Salanas were also being held. However, the scope and vastness of the Jalsas have now increased manifold in comparison to those early Jalsas. Furthermore, there are many new countries who now also hold the Jalsa Salanas. It is not only Ahmadis, but rather in many countries of the world, there are worldly leaders as well as people of other faiths and religions. And in fact, there are even some sincere and honest Muslims who declared the Jalsa Salanas held by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community to be such a function and event which informs the world of the true reality of Islam. An event which introduces the world to the beautiful teachings of Islam. So thus, these are outcomes which were destined to emerge. The world is coming to learn of Islam through the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. By virtue of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, it was destined for the world to come to know of the true Islam, for this was amongst the decrees of God. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has in explicitly clear terms said this himself. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, "Do not consider this Jalsa to be like ordinary worldly events. This event is solely supported through divine help and is to elevate the name and status of Islam." In other words, it is by virtue of such Jalsa Salanas that the name of Islam will be elevated. This is because those who come to participate in the Jalsa will learn such things which will lead to a revolution in their practical and intellectual states. This intellectual and practical revolution will then manifest its beauty and excellence and brilliance before the world, and will thus establish that Islam is the most perfect, complete religion, a religion which is preeminent and superior to all other religions and faiths. For it will not only be human efforts and endeavors, but rather divine support and succor will also manifest itself. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has clarified further that the foundation stone of this movement has been laid by the hands of God Himself. Nations have been prepared for this purpose, who very soon will join in it. For this is the act of that all-powerful before whom nothing is impossible. The time is nigh, rather it is right at our doorstep. Neither will there remain any trace of atheism, or those who are naturalists, or those who are entirely superstitious, nor those who deny the miracles of God. And neither will there remain those obscene type of people who combine those traditions which are against the Holy Quran. Allah the Almighty will create an intermediary path between the believers and the Ummah. The same path that was brought by the Holy Quran, the same path that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to his Sahaba, companions, may Allah be pleased with them. It is the same guidance which from its very commencement was attained by the Siddiq, the Shaheed, and the Sulaha, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. Most certainly this will come to pass. Most certainly this will come to pass. He who has ears should listen. Blessed be those upon whom the straight path is manifested. So most certainly these Jalsa Salanas are a means of bringing about a revolution in our inner state, and this is exactly what should occur. There are Jalsa Salanas held around the world, which include various nations and countries. These are Jalsa Salanas of various countries and nations. In Africa, Africans attend. In the Far East, the people of the Far East attend. And similarly, in Europe and in America, many people participate. And there are also Arabs who participate. God the Almighty has given His practical testimony and support to the words of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that there are nations being prepared who will join with this. People of various nations and countries enter into the bed, the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and in this way are announcing the fulfillment of this prophecy to the promised Messiah. It is not only this, but in fact right now, today, in Qadian, where the Jalsa Salana is being held, there are 31 countries being represented, including Africans, Asians, Arabs, non-Arabs, people of America as well as people of Europe, people of Australia, as well as the people of the Far East and the islands who are all being represented. And thus, the opponents believed that by placing restrictions upon the Jalsa Solana in just one country, they had given Ahmadiyyat a strong blow. The opponents are foolish. They fail to understand that the one who has announced to be the Imam of the time, the one who declared that he was the Messiah of Muhammad, never said that he was establishing this movement on his own. In fact, what he said is that the foundation stone of this community was laid by the hands of God Himself. And so if the opponents of the community have the courage, they should step forth and contend and fight with God. But they should also remember that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is that beloved and dear one of God, who has with him the exceptional and special help and support of God the Almighty. And why would this not be the case? When the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in this era, was appointed by God the Almighty to establish the glory and greatness of God's religion. So before resorting to opposition, opponents should stop to reflect upon this declaration of the promised Messiah, in which he says in a couplet, that O those who wish ill and bad for me, think carefully before making any such attempts. The opponents should remember that the short-lived and temporary suffering and harm that they inflict upon us can never wipe out the Jamaat. It can inflict harm and suffering upon a few individuals. This is that Jamaat which has the help and support of Allah the Almighty. God the Almighty has Himself erected and established this movement. So how could they possibly inflict any harm and damage to this community? So let alone one government, even if all the governments of the world were to combine together, can never wipe out the Ahmadiyya Muslim community from the world. Inshallah, God willing. For this is that Jamaat, who is to free of all extremism, the true teachings of this perfect and complete religion, and establish it in its original pristine and real image, which our master and guide, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, brought. Explaining his claim and what the Jamaat actually is. In one place, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, mentioning that no power of the world can end the community. He says, those acts and works which are to reveal the glory of God and to manifest the blessings, proof and evidence of the Messenger of God, and which are established by the hands of God Himself, are protected and safeguarded by the angels themselves. Who could possibly destroy that? Remember, if my movement is a mere business or trade, then all trace of it will be completely wiped out. If my movement is merely a business or trade, all trace of it will be wiped out. However, if my movement is from God, and undoubtedly it has been established by God, then even if the entire world would oppose it, it would grow, it would flourish, it will spread, and angels would safeguard and protect it. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, even if a single person does not stand by to support me, and there is no one to help and aid me, even then I firmly believe that this movement will ultimately prevail and succeed. So thus, these are the powerful and glorious and splendid words of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah has presented these words, bearing witness by God. So thus, how can it be that the opponents make efforts and they would be able to succeed in wiping out this community? At the same time, we should also bear in mind that we also have some responsibilities. We hold various Jalsa Salanas and we have entered into the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. We should remember that this movement is no ordinary movement, which was established by the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Nor are these Jalsa Salanas ordinary, which were initiated by the promised Messiah. Neither is it a trivial matter for anyone to call himself an Ahmadi. In fact, this behoves a huge responsibility upon every Ahmadi. The promised Messiah has said that if there are weak people who leave the community, and even if the entire world leaves me, God would still not forsake me, for this is a promise of God. So thus, this is an immense duty of Ahmadis. It is the duty of every single Ahmadi who claims to enter into the Bayt, the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that to have a share in the help and support of Allah the Almighty, they would have to bring about a revolution within the inner state, which the promised Messiah on whom be peace wished to see amongst his followers. Therefore, it is not enough for us to just attend the Jalsa Salana. Rather, we also need to take stock of our own condition and state. We need to be included amongst those people who are the recipients of the prayers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. People write letters to me asking me to pray for them, that they may also have a share in the prayers that the promised Messiah made for those who attend the Jalsa Salana. Is it enough to be the recipient of these prayers of the promised Messiah that we merely participate in the Jalsa Salana? That we listen to a few hours of the proceedings of the Jalsa Salana, we raise Nare Takbir and slogans, and then consider that that is all? Definitely not. As I have said, to become the recipient of these prayers of the promised Messiah, we would have to assess our own state and condition. That is whatever we hear and listen to, or is this passion and zeal that has developed in this environment all short-lived and temporary, or will it become a permanent part of our lives? So thus, if this is the effect that has overcome us during this Jalsa Salana, then we will rise from every session of the Jalsa Salana with this pledge and promise, that I will use the extent of my capabilities and capacity to bring about that required revolution in my life, which Allah and His Messenger desired to see in us. And which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained. It is then that we will constantly become the recipients of the prayers of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Otherwise, it will be as if we are saying to God the Almighty that we will not do anything or make any efforts. We do not believe in what you say. That Allah the Almighty has said that Fal yastujibu li, where God says that also accept my command. Yet despite this, we somehow think that we will become the recipients of the prayers. Thus, make an effort to develop a spiritual revolution within you through the environment of the Jalsa. We should pray that we attain this spiritual state, and this is what will lead us to becoming the recipient of the prayers of the promised Messiah. Prayers and efforts are both necessary, so that we can ultimately receive and attain those prayers of the promised Messiah. And in doing so, we will attain the blessings, bounties, and grace of God. When Allah the Almighty has commanded for His injunctions to be accepted and implemented, what are those things that we must accept and follow? We are all aware of what this is. Those things are the commands and injunctions of Allah the Almighty that are found from the beginning to the end of the Holy Quran. Then Allah the Almighty, bestowing His favor upon us, sent the Imam of this age, who explained the profoundness, significance, and importance of these commands. So after all this, there remains no excuse for us. With reference to the Jalsa Salana, where the promised Messiah has drawn our attention towards fulfilling the rights of God, He has also emphatically drawn our attention towards fulfilling the rights of fellow men. Where the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has inculcated the participants of the Jalsa Salana towards piety, righteousness, and good character, He has with great pain and agony placed the expectation of His followers that they would be exemplary in displaying kind-heartedness, mutual love and affection, and brotherhood. That they would show humbleness and humility. They would have feelings and sentiments of wanting to sacrifice for one another, and would establish the highest standards of honesty and truthfulness. They should be far removed from being abusive and slanderous, and from displaying ill temper, rudeness, and ill manners. So thus, in this respect, every single person should assess that are we showing an exemplary model in displaying the highest morals, in sacrificing for others, are we striving to become an example? Do we show that standard of humility and humbleness that the promised Messiah desired to see in us, and which Allah the Almighty has mentioned in the Holy Quran? The examples of which the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented before us. If this is not the case, then in trying to take a share in the prayers of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in striving to attain the blessings of Allah the Almighty, our efforts will be practically useless. Yet conversely, we hold great expectations. So thus the participants of the various jalsas held around the world, generally speaking, and especially the attendees of the Jalsa Salana being held in Qadian, because that is the jalsa being held in the abode of the promised Messiah, all should particularly realize and feel that agony and pain of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, expressed this with reference to the attendees of the Jalsa Salana. If we want to truly become the recipients of these prayers, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has in various places addressed us in terms of what he expected from us. We observe in ordinary worldly relations that those children receive greater prayers and closeness to their parents, who obey them in everything they say. Those children who serve their parents, and who most of all listen to what their parents tell them. So as such, we will reap the best rewards and fruits from this relationship that we have established with the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, only when we exceed in this bond and connection. The treasure of prayers that has been kept for those who attend the Jalsa Salana is such that it will continuously remain until the Day of Judgment. And so fortunate will be those amongst us who take benefit from this. I shall present some extracts of the statements of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in which he also expresses his expectations that he had of the members of the Jamaat. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, if our Jamaat truly wants to become a community, then they must accept a death. They should avoid at all costs egotistical and selfish desires and passions. They should give precedence to God over all other things. A person is completely ruined and destroyed as a result of many pretentious, absurd and vain things. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, abstain from all bad passions. Every stranger that comes across you will assess your countenance and analyze you. He will observe what the standards are of your morals, etiquettes, manners, steadfastness, uprightness, and adherence to the divine commands. If they are not at an exemplary level, then he would stumble and falter through you. So thus remember all of these points. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace says. It says in the Holy Quran, Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin. That whosoever kills a person without reason, it is as if he has killed all mankind. The promised Messiah says, I similarly say that if a person does not display compassion and love with his brother, then it is as if he is incompassionate with the entire world. Do not love the world to such a degree that you continue to forsake your faith. The promised Messiah then says, if even this Jamaat, which Allah the Almighty wanted to make an example for others, falls to this condition and state, where there is no brotherhood and love and compassion among them, it would be a great corruption and ruin. Then the promised Messiah says, I say most truly that worldly and materialistic things cannot be combined with the faith. Certainly, it can be for the sake of supporting the faith, but not if it is equated as a partner or associated in this manner. It has never been the case that one who has a pure relationship with Allah the Almighty should go around begging for morsels. For Allah the Almighty shows mercy to even His children. Then the promised Messiah says, Hazur says, this is something which should be heard carefully. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, only those should be considered to be counted amongst the members of our Jamaat, who according to the Bayt, the oath of allegiance, give precedence to the faith over worldly matters. One who honors this pledge and moves towards God the Almighty, then God the Almighty gives him strength and power. Then the promised Messiah said with great anguish, our Jamaat should not be satisfied with mere words and verbal claims. Rather, they should also strive to fulfill the true objective of the Bayt. They should bring about inner transformations. They should bring about inner transformations. You cannot please God through mere doctrinal beliefs. If you do not transform your inner state, then there is nothing to distinguish you between others. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, to change yourself, make an effort. Beseech God for prayers in your salat. Through sadaqah and almsgiving and through all other such means, be counted amongst وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا. So thus, these are just a few of the words of advice of the promised Messiah. Whereas the promised Messiah has outlined innumerable advice to elevate the spiritual and moral state of the members of the Jamaat. We should keep all of these in view, and through it, make every effort to show that there is a clear difference between us and others. Without doing so, we cannot fulfill the purpose of the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said clearly that merely through increasing your knowledge, or through understanding doctrinal beliefs, or through silencing the opponents in intellectual and doctrinal discussions, you cannot please God. This is not sufficient that you merely acquire knowledge. Undoubtedly, enhancing one's knowledge does have its own independent importance and significance. However, in order to please God, in order to attract and absorb the love of God, practical progress is essential. One has to transform his inner state. One needs to apply the commands of Allah the Almighty upon himself. there is a need to be included amongst those people regarding whom Allah the Almighty says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. In other words, those who struggle and endeavor to meet us. They make this effort by sacrificing their self. They do so through prayers and supplication where they beseech the help of God. They do so by giving sadaqah and also almsgiving and other forms of charity. They try every single means to please God. Observing the passion and zeal of such people, Allah the Almighty says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That we will certainly enable them to tread on the paths that lead to us. Therefore, in order to attain nearness to God, one first of all has to make efforts himself. It is then that he can attain nearness to Allah. Similarly, to become the recipients of the prayers of the Beloved One of God, one would have to make an effort to become deserving of those prayers. So thus, these Jalsa Salanas provide us with an atmosphere which enable us to take a share of those prayers. In it, we are able to assess our own state and condition, and we should strive to elevate our standards of Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad, the rights due to God and the rights due to mankind. This is so that we can rapidly traverse the path of God. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so. The second point I want to especially make for those attending the Jalsa Salana in Qadian is that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, considering the weather, also said that those attending the Jalsa should bring their own bedding. So those living in India especially should implement this to the greatest degree possible. In fact, this should also apply to the Pakistanis. Albeit now, through the arrangements of the Jalsa, there is a facility of bedding provided, but it cannot fulfill the need of everyone. So thus, those who are coming to attend the Jalsa from India should not hold undue expectations that all their requirements will be fulfilled. Those who come to attend from abroad should always bring as much warm clothing as possible, and they must have brought this with them in this instance, because it is very cold there, and considering the cold weather, they would have taken the warm clothing. So they should also be mindful of this. Instead of searching around, that they should receive a warm place to sleep, warm rooms, and a warm place to stay. They should instead wear warm clothing, which they should sleep in overnight, so that then no complaints can arise that they did not receive warm bedding or a warm quilt or blanket, or that the room was very cold. Presently, it does not even get that cold. In the past, it would get far colder. Now the weather has changed in the world. The weather has similarly changed there. It may still be very foggy, but there is considerable change now in the weather, and it does not get as cold. So in that time in the past, guests would come and would stay there undergoing great sacrifice. The real purpose is to attain beneficence from the spiritual atmosphere. It is to give attention to one's spiritual state and condition and to try and absorb the blessings of God. Those who are going to Qadian from Europe may particularly feel the cold there, because here in the houses in Europe, there are arrangements for heating which would not be available there. There may also be some well-off people who are going to the Qadian Jalsa from Pakistan who will demand for heaters or warm rooms. All of these people should remember that whatever facilities they are provided by the arrangements of the Jalsa, they should be thankful for and should be pinched on. They should say Alhamdulillah upon whatever they receive. The various Jamaats should fully inform the members of their community in their countries who are planning to go to Qadian, and should fully ready them of the circumstances in every respect. Hence, people will already be fully aware of the entire state of affairs and will not have any complaints. However, I have seen that for a long period of time, the Jamaats outside of Qadian do not even send their list of delegates. There is slackness in this. So thus, for the future, you should remember that if any Jamaats wish to send people for the Jalsa, they should comply with the requirements of the Markaz for details and information to be sent. This is the duty of the various Umara, the national presidents of the communities around the world, to make this information available. Without this, it leads to difficulties at the Jalsa. Similarly, there are people who make demands that they must stay at such and such location, that they should stay at the guest house, or at Daro Ziafat, or at Langar Khana, or somewhere else. Such demands are completely wrong. Now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in terms of the current attendance of the Jalsa Salana, which is not that high, between 15 and 20,000, there are arrangements made to the greatest degree possible to accommodate all of these people, and it is very good arrangements that are made. However, if despite this, people due to their ailments, illnesses, or other reasons feel hardship or difficulty, or may feel it burdensome due to their elderly age, then it will be better for such people to not attend the Jalsa Salana. To come to attend the Jalsa and benefit from its atmosphere and environment undoubtedly requires a person to pass through some hardship. Sacrifice will have to be given. Despite the fact that the promised Messiah alayhi salam established the highest standards of hospitality, which leaves one completely bewildered, the promised Messiah still said, especially during the days of the Jalsa, everyone should be treated equally. Thus, no special demands should be made, and in fact, this should apply at all the Jalsas that are held everywhere in the world. Now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah in Qadian, there are many facilities of accommodation, in accordance with the command of God which was revealed to the promised Messiah, that Vasimakanaka, that expand your house. We find the manifestation of this each and every single year, as Allah the Almighty continues to increase the capacity of our accommodation. The organizers there also make an effort to provide and confer with the greatest amount of accommodation and facilities as can be possible. However, in such large-scale arrangements, there are shortcomings which always appear. So thus, such guests who are used to making demands, even if they have to pass through hardship, they should comply with the organizers. And as I said, they should be content and delighted with the fact, and they should look to the point that they have come to the home of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. So thus, how can we attain the greatest amount of benefit possible? For this, as I have said, instead of focusing on worldly comforts, they should search for those things, and they should strive to attain such things which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, desired from us. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, with the exception of just a few people, all the attendees of the Jalsa Salana are an example of sincerity, loyalty and dedication whenever they attend, whether they are from Russia, from Europe or America. When they go to the township of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and afterwards write their feelings and sentiments, it shows an astonishing spiritual state, which is very particular, peculiar and distinct. So those few people who are an exception to this, who are especially amongst the old Ahmadis, if I have any complaint, it is more with the old Ahmadis. Such people who are being overwhelmed with worldliness and materialism, I will say to them also that look at the devotion, sincerity and dedication of those who are newly entering into the Jamaat. Everyone who is participating into the Jalsa Salana, rather than being worried about those menial things, should instead strive to immerse themselves in that spiritual atmosphere. They should engage their time in prayers and supplication. In these days, in particular, while you pray for your increased faith and conviction, they should especially pray for the progress of the Jamaat, for the connection and bond with Khilafat, and to continuously enhance this relationship. pray that the expectations that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had for his Jamaat can be achieved and fulfilled by you. The prayers of the Mu'mineen, the believers, are a help and support for one another. So thus your prayers for the Jamaat, for the Khalifa of the time, for each other, and for those who pray for themselves, will make them attain the blessings and bounties of God. Your prayers will have a share in those prayers that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, made for his Jamaat. Pray that the Jalsa Salana concludes successfully and in a blessed way in every respect, and pray that every evil of opponents and the enemy rebounds upon them. Because the detractors and opponents can do anything at any time and anywhere. Pray that we rapidly see the mission and objective of the promised Messiah fulfilled. Spend your day and night, morning and evening, in the remembrance of God, Zikr-e Ilahi. It is then that you will attain the purpose of attending the Jalsa Salana. May Allah the Almighty enable all of them to do so. May Allah the Almighty rapidly enable us to see the manifestation and scenes, where we see the world attached to the Messiah of Muhammad, and that they come to gather united under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia, which is of our former missionary, Mukarram Ahmad Jamshir Sukhiya Sahib. He passed away on the 24th of December 2014 in Mauritius. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was born in May 1933. He lived in Mauritius. His father, Abdul Sattar Sukhiya Sahib, for a long period of time was the Sadr of the Jamaat, the president. His grandfather, Abdul Manaf Sukhiya Sahib, did the Bayat, the Oath of Allegiance, through Sufi Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, who was a missionary. In 1952, Shamshad Sukhiya Sahib did the Senior School Certificate from Cambridge University. From 1953, he began employment in the civil service. In 1962, when he was an inspector of the income tax, on his leave, he went for a visit to Qadian in Rabwa. For a long period of time, he wished to dedicate his life and do waqf. When he arrived in Rabwa, he was so passionate in this desire, and he so greatly admired the atmosphere there, that he wrote a letter there and then, ending his employment, dedicated his life and entered into Jami Ahmadiyya. On 6 November 1962, he was enrolled in Jami Ahmadiyya Rabwa. In July 1966, he graduated from Jamia. After completing his education in Jamia, he returned to Mauritius. There he married a daughter of one of the earliest Ahmadis, Al-Haj Azim Sultan or Sahib, Sayyida Sukhiya Sahiba. His initial appointment was in Mauritius. Then in July 1967 to September 1977, he served in Ivory as a missionary. Then, after staying in Rabwa for some period of time, in March 1978, he once again was appointed in Ivory Coast. In August 1981, he was transferred from Ivory Coast to Benin, and until April 1978, he served in Benin. In 1978, he retired from his service, but he continued to serve in various capacities of the Jamaat. He was able to engage in many academic tasks, such as translating the Friday sermons, as well as other responsibilities. In Africa, he served with great patience in extremely harsh and difficult circumstances. In Benin, he had a mosque constructed on behalf of his parents. In addition to Mauritius and the Rodrigues Islands, he also served in the near countries such as Madagascar, the Comoros Islands, and Reunion Islands. During his stay in Mauritius, he provided great services in translating literature and preparing books. He was enabled to translate various literature of the Jamaat into the French language. He was enabled to translate the book of the promised Messiah, Kishti-e-Nu, Noah's Ark, into French. He would translate the Hadrat Khalif Tomasi the Fourth Friday sermons into French, put it on cassettes and send it to the French-speaking countries. He was enabled to translate the Holy Quran into the Creole language. He was also enabled in the newly published French translation of the Holy Quran to help in the final checking and verification. He also wrote a short book on the life of the Holy Prophet. He was extremely selfless, simple, and completely free of pretentiousness. He was greatly humble and filled of humility. He had this right from the beginning. I remember when he studied in Rabwa, during the days of the Jalsa Salana, we would give duties together. He was a person who displayed immense humility. He would come before everyone with very good morals. He was also very jolly and a very good-mannered person. A few months before his demise, he quietly donated 4,500 euros to the construction of the mosque in Ivory Coast. There was an Ahmadi who was in need of some money, and when no one in his family could help, as soon as he found out, he quietly gave him the required amount. He would very lovingly mention the teachers who he had studied from in Jamia. He was a very pious person. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank and grant him forgiveness. As I have just said, that after the Friday prayers, I will lead his funeral prayer in absentia.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر